Welcome to Food Rebels. This is the podcast that brings you brand, chefs and live on-air tastings, a show dedicated to the more rebellious side of the food world. And we celebrate people who challenge the status quo. And have we got a show for you today? You know me, I'm the show host, AJ Sharp. I'm a taste expert, food writer, Great Taste Awards judge, business owner. And with me in the studio, I've got producer Georgie Parsons. Welcome
Hi.
Back, Georgie.
Thanks for having me back.
And I've also got a really exciting guest who I'm going to introduce in just a minute. But Georgie, today, I know you already know this because you're the producer. You set everything up. We're talking about insects.
I know. It's quite early in the morning and I'm feeling, ooh.
I know. I can just see here. I'm looking at the notes that I obviously have read and well prepared. 80% of the world eat insects.
Yeah. And but they're not, it's not eaten that well, you know, that much in the West. So it's kind of, it's a new food group really for us, but it is really widely eaten around the rest of the world. So why aren't we eating it?
It's not really that rebellious then, is it? We're like late to the party, maybe.
Exactly.
I've seen so much about insects because it's supposed to be this incredible protein source, a really great food group. It's something that, like you say, everyone else is doing it. Yeah. We're not doing it.
Exactly. And why? Why are we not doing it more? And is it just because we don't like the thought of eating the insects?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's definitely a barrier to go over in your head there, isn't there? Okay. Have you ever tried insects before?
Yes, I have actually. I travelled around Southeast Asia and used to find them in the markets, fried, deep fried, straight out of the hot oil. And then they were, you know, passed over to you. And they're crunchy and delicious. I kind of seem to remember them, but...
Where were you when you tried that?
I'm just trying to think. I think it was in Thailand, actually.
Okay.
Street food kind of vibe.
I'm sure I have tried them at some point. It's the kind of thing. I've definitely tried some types of different things that have got insects in them.
Yeah, I also seem to remember having them on salads as well. It's like little crunchy crispiness bits on top of salads.
Oh, like fried onion.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like okay. A fried onion.
Excellent. I love that. Well, I better introduce our expert on the subject so we can stop surmising and actually find out. We've got Clara Bess from Saved. Hi, Clara.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for coming in. Can you tell us about Saved? What do you make?
So Saved is a savory snack and we make puffs with lentil and cricket protein. So you actually don't see the insect, but the cricket powder is in the snack itself. So it's a high protein snack with delicious alternative protein.
Oh, incredible. So does that mean that these snacks are higher in protein than, say, a bag of crisps or something?
Yeah, it is. It's equivalent to eating an egg per pack. So.
Oh, an egg? Yeah. Wow, gosh, that really is quite a lot of protein, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible. 6 grams per pack.
Mm. How did you come up with this idea?
I wouldn't think that at 29 I would be called a cricket girl when people refer to me. So I used to work at PepsiCo and I worked on Lay's and Walkers. So I kind of was in the snack industry before, but I felt like I needed a bit more purpose and do something about climate change and sustainability. So I kind of came across insect protein quite randomly and I was personally kind of struggling to switch to alternative proteins. So tofu tempeh seitan, I didn't really know how to cook them, didn't want to spend hours in the kitchen to make them taste good. Legumes, pulses, kind of some make me quite bloated. And Beyond Meat, I feel like I really enjoy it, but I didn't want to eat it every night. So I was kind of wanting to make that switch, but not a lot of options were available to me. So I came across insect protein and it's very versatile. It's a powder. Well, I think we'll be eating it in different shapes and forms. But I just started adding it to soup, to bread I was making, in my pasta sauce. And it's just like easy protein that I was just adding to my meals without kind of changing my habits.
Well, where did you even find it to buy it?
Google. I just Googled and I just ordered a lot of random insects. So cricket, mealworms. I made a crunchy banana bread with mealworms. I've put dried mealworms in granola and they were floating in the milk. So I did a lot of weird experiments that didn't work out.
Was this because you wanted more protein in your diet? Exactly. You were thinking, right, I'm really lacking protein. Mm-hmm. I need to find alternative ways to get more protein into my diet.
Exactly.
And then you just came across...
Yeah, I kind of came across insect protein because I was researching more sustainable ways of like kind of incorporating protein. And okay. Exactly as you said, 80% of the population eats insects. Mm. So we're kind of the weird one out there. And I was like, why not? I'm very curious about food. I've never kind of been weird out about food. So I just started ordering it, trying it at different types of food. And for me, what was really important is like, I don't want to change my habits. I don't want to learn how to cook tempeh. I want to just like use it in my everyday. I want to cook less. I don't want to cook my chicken. I just want to put the powder in my soup and just have soup. Mm. And that was kind of a really kind of easy way to integrate that additional protein that I needed, but in a sustainable way.
Were you a vegetarian though? Because when you were talking about beyond meat and things, that makes me think of actually like a vegan diet.
Yeah. So I was trying to be more plant-based. I would call myself flexitarian.
Okay,
79% of the UK kind of call themselves like that.
Yeah, I do.
It's quite a growing population.
Oh, 79%, that is a lot.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But there's actually not a clear definition. It's just people actively reducing the meat intake. So it could just be like not eating your Sunday roast on a Sunday. Meaning like you're already reducing your meat intake. So I do really enjoy fish and meat, but I just try to be very conscious where I eat it from. Mm-hmm. So I try to eat it like once a week from a very good butcher instead of kind of low quality every day.
And presumably as a protein source, insects are incredibly sustainable.
It is, yeah.
I mean, how does that work?
It's vertically farmed. This is why, because they're raised in vertical farms. So it reduces the land, well, it's kind of lower land usage, feed usage, water usage than beef or poultry. Within 2 months, you have an actual cricket. So we use cricket as the main protein in our products, but there's mealworms, there's 2,000 edible species of insects, so quite a lot of that out there. And so within 2 months, you have the crickets, you just dry the crickets, just blend them into a powder and you can use it in anything you want, basically. Whereas a cow, it takes 2.5 years to grow it, to eat it.
And so on this kind of trying to use something, a protein, but it's still an animal, you know, is it a humane way of breeding them? And, you know, what's the life like for a cricket? I mean, before they're...
Yeah, it's an interesting question because a lot of people interested in our products are usually vegetarian.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. It must be quite a difficult...
It's a difficult choice because it is an animal. So it's usually vegetarian that are vegetarian for sustainability reason, but not really for ethical. Well, you still kill an animal, I would say. So it is ethical in a way because the way of killing the crickets is by freezing them. And they, before they're frozen, they actually go into a state called diapause, which is basically winter time when the weather gets
like
cold.
A hibernation
exactly. So they hibernate and then at some point they die, so it's not a very cruel way of dying.
So it's kind of painless for
exactly
them.
Yeah, and whether insects do feel pain is still debatable, so that's also a component.
But I suppose if you assume they do, then this sounds like a very humane way.
Yeah,
really interesting. And what benefits does a cricket bring? I mean, there's the protein element. Is there any other kind of, I imagine there's some sort of like minerals or vitamins or...
Yeah, there is. Well, the protein is the main one because it's 70% protein, whereas chicken or beef would be 25, 30% protein.
Really?
So it's quite a lot.
No way. I did not know that.
And then you have, it's almost like fish. It has a lot of good fatty acids, omega, iron, zinc. So quite a lot of, it's kind of a unknown superfood.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Why do you think we don't eat insects in the West?
I think it's just not been part of, like culturally, it hasn't been really part of what we've been eating. We've been eating a lot of fish, what has been in the land, like cows, sheep. So I just culturally, I think it's never been really there. Although in France they do eat like escargot, like snails, and like frogs.
And frog legs. Yeah, exactly.
So it is, I think it's just, it hasn't been widely spread.
Maybe it's about availability because...
Exactly.
I mean, we do get insects obviously in the summer months, but not we don't get sort of plagues of it or...
No.
Get huge amounts like they do in other countries.
No, exactly. Like Africa, like in Ghana and so on, they eat a lot of silkworms. And so it's just because the plantation they have there, like the insect actually
it's available.
Grows, is available there. So they just kind of make use of it, I guess.
It's so interesting. Could we taste it?
Of course. So these are the black pepper ones, but we have four different flavors as well. So herbs, paprika, cheese, and sour cream.
So you take the cricket powder.
Yeah.
And then what do you do with it?
So I blend it with other flours, so corn, rice, and lentils. And then we just extrude it. So it's baked, it's puffed, so it's not fried. And then we add the flavoring on top of it. So it's quite an easy, not very processed way. We just like blend all the different components and bake it into a delicious product.
It's really interesting. I mean, it's the sort of consistency and shape and size of a Wotsit or something, isn't it? But not cheesy. I mean, I really get salt and pepper from that. I mean,
I love pepper, so that is a real...
Yeah. I mean, the black dots, are they... Is that the cricket powder or is that literally the black pepper?
That's literally the black pepper. Right. No, you wouldn't see the crickets.
You don't see the crickets because it's actually puffed powder. Into
exactly.
the...
Mm.
And these gluten-free?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, right.
No, it was an important component, although... Gluten-free, like it's still a growing market, but we wanted to make it like reduce the number of barriers that people would have to eat our products. So since the cricket could be kind of a barrier, we tried to lower all the other ones. So gluten-free, we don't add any sugar, no additives, GMO-free, dairy and soy-free. So quite a lot of different...
You're covering quite a lot of boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
And where do you actually have it made?
So we made our products in Italy and the crickets are Spanish.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
We wanted to have a product that is kind of the most sustainable possible, most sustainable way. So the biggest cricket farms are in Asia, but I feel like flying the crickets from like around the world wouldn't really make a lot of sense if you're trying to make a sustainable product.
So how big is cricket farming in Spain?
Not that big. There's like the cricket farming business in Europe is still very fragmented and a lot of small farms. So I think in Spain it's the only farm. There's quite a bit in Netherlands. The biggest insect farm, but for aquaculture and pet food is mealworms, and it's called Insect in France. That's the biggest in the world.
Yeah, because I have seen it in cat food.
Yeah.
There's a brand that does only insect based cat food.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Which I've seen.
Quite niche.
But it's the same thing because your animals eat obviously mainly only really protein, so it's using just another protein source rather than a chicken or a
more sustainable version.
It's nice. A bigger market actually, like than the human food one. The pet food market.
I can imagine.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And people that there has been a law in France to prohibit. People to give plant-based food to their pets because that's like it's a growing thing for it's kind of a trend for humans, and people start putting it on their cats and dogs, but they need meat. They're carnivores, so yeah. There has been a law that
really
you can't
a law?
Feed plant-based.
No,
well, which makes sense. So like insect makes complete sense because they're the most sustainable kind of way of feeding your pets.
Interesting that that's they had really to put a law in place though, because
people don't think really about it. They're just like, oh, I'm plant-based, I'll just feed my dog plant-based food.
The dogs are becoming really malnourished.
Exactly.
and unwell. Wow.
Yeah, I was reading an article actually my dad sent to me about how unenvironmentally friendly it is to have animals. It was really quite worrying.
I can't get rid of my puppy.
I know. I was like, because I have a dog, two cats, and I do agree. We feed them a lot of meat, you know. So it is suddenly realizing how unsustainable having animals is. But maybe, you know, with the crickets and the insects, we should be doing switching over more to
maybe
meals like that.
Better way, yeah. Mm.
So talk to us about the EU and the regulations that are there with crickets and stuff and what the issues are.
So just for the listeners so they understand what we're talking about, insects are a novel food. So novel food is all foods introduced in Europe including the UK, after 97. So for example, chia seeds were a novel food. Mm-hmm. It wasn't widely consumed before 1997. So what you have to do is, well, insect as well. So you have to apply. So we had to send an application for cricket, like the species of cricket, which is Acetta domesticus, or chia seeds, whatever hasn't been consumed widely before. And then the EFSA, so the Food Standard Agency, would kind of review the application with all the evidence. You have to, it's quite lengthy, and then hopefully get approved. So in Europe, the cricket has been approved. In the UK, since Brexit happened, they kind of created their new Food Standard Agency. So they had to create that new process. So we, as part of a group of edible insect association, we've submitted application for the relevant species to be considered.
So you had to do two separate different applications for it now.
Yeah.
And what percentage, do you know what percentage you have to be to stop being a novel food? As in like how much...
No,
people have to. I mean, obviously, chia seeds are huge now. So,
yeah,
I'm presuming they're off the.
Well, they have been approved. So no.
Oh, so once they're approved, then you get off the.
Yeah, exactly. There's no like percentage per se. I think it's just like if it has been consumed before. But I don't know specifically.
Because we've also got some products here from NutriBug, which were sent in to us, which are various different flavours of crickets. Now, these are actually whole crickets rather than a powdered cricket, but they're just flavoured. So shall we have a taste of some of these?
How do you feel about them?
What is this one called? A coconut cricket?
This is a coconut cricket. And
wow, and it looks like you can see the whole cricket body here.
Yeah.
You can see the head and the body and the legs, and it looks like it's in a sort of cocoon, which I suspect is the sort of flavour.
Gosh, you really can see the eyes on it.
Yeah, it's looking at me. Do I have to?
So there's sesame seeds on top of it as well.
Oh, is that the sesame seeds?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's sweet.
Oh, it's very crunchy and very sweet.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
I was expecting it to feel more like an insect when I bit into it.
I didn't feel like an insect at all. No, I could have that on top of my yogurt.
Yeah.
Very
coconutty. Yeah. There's a kind of a granola vibe.
There is a granola vibe. Actually, it's quite pleasant. Much more pleasant than I thought it was going to be. I really did not want to put that in my mouth.
I think it's the eyes that are slightly off-putting.
Yeah.
And then we've also got silkworms, which is what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay, fried silkworms. What is this flavour? It looks like a lemon.
Chili and lime.
Chili and lime, okay.
Chili and lime silkworms. Wow. So these silkworms are longer. They, again, have got some kind of batter coating to them. They look a bit more like a centipede, like a
caterpillar.
It that's the word.
It looks like a caterpillar. Yeah, well, it sort of is, isn't it?
Oh, that's really
spicy.
Oh, that's nice.
It's quite
it's actually, I've bitten it in half and it's actually quite hollow. It's like the whole of the inside has disappeared in the deep fried process. And the outside.
Try another one.
Yeah, it is quite good.
Looks like a tempura sort of.
It's tempura, that's it.
Batter coating.
Mm. So these are actually from Thailand. Mm-hmm. They, NutriBug, bought a production facility in Thailand and do all the drying, roasting, and processing of it over there. And then they export around the world, actually, US, Japan, Europe, and Australia. So
a peanut alternative made using roasted mung beans and high protein cricket powder.
Yeah.
Wow.
And these ones are chocolate covered ones.
Okay.
Crickets or
yeah, crickets. Mm. Chocolate covered crickets.
So this could be
like
a piece of corn or something. I mean, it's just looks like a little blob of chocolate here with a crunchy center. I mean, it's rather delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It could be.
But that's a good thing about crickets, or I think, well, I haven't tried all the 2,000 edible insects, but it's quite versatile. Like, it doesn't really taste much.
It doesn't taste of much, does it?
But that's interesting because, you know, all these products here, Clara, what you were talking about, just adding protein, just getting some extra protein into mm-hmm. you. All these ones here, I can think, great, quick snack with a hummus or, you know, with your... saved
Yeah, these saved crisps.
Crisps.
They're brilliant.
And then these kind of, the actual cricket kind of things, you know, the coconut one, as I was just saying, on top of your breakfast, a quick chocolate snack. Mm-hmm. There's actually, it makes you realise you can add this product into your lifestyle very easily and kind of quickly without even really thinking too much about it. I mean, the lime and chili ones, the silkworms, I'm thinking, oh, on top of a salad would just add like a lovely little kick to something, wouldn't they?
Mm. Little crunch.
But imagine having, you know, you've got some girlfriends coming around for lunch and you're like, I've just made you a goat's cheese and cricket salad or silkworm salad. Can you just see everyone's faces looking down and going, sorry, what? What have you just served me?
Yeah, but I just feel like we need to be more open with this and actually, you know, give it a go and see, embrace it a bit more, because we're talking about sustainability, talking about trying to get other ways of, you know, eating better protein. But
there's a psychological limit, isn't there? And I think it's because as we grow up, you know, a bug flew in my mouth while I was cycling my bike. It's like a bad thing, isn't it? And you're almost slightly afraid of bugs. Mm-hmm. You're afraid of wasps and bees coming and stinging you. And you usher bugs away from your food at mealtimes that suddenly...
Being told to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a psychologically, it's a real mindset shift, isn't it? Whereas not for saved though, not for these crisps, because I feel like, because it's integrated.
Yeah.
You can't see the crickets. You can't really taste the crickets. But this very generously portioned packet of... kind of lentil puffs is actually only 100 calories. Like, this feels like there's no compromise here.
No.
It's brilliant. There's no compromise at all. It's like, it tastes delicious. It looks delicious. And to be honest, you could serve that. Nobody would ever know about it.
And that's the thing. I think, well, we've sampled to a lot of people last year, even this year, because it's a product that needs to be tried. I think people have exactly, as you said, that first kind of, oh, this insect, I'm not sure. But 99 of people trying our products really love them. And it's just that first mental barrier. But once you eat it, it's fine. But I think if we would have started with like NutriBug, and well, I hope that's the future, having the cricket itself where you can actually see it, I'm not sure that's the first step towards people accepting it. Because people say like, oh, if I don't see it, it's actually fine. If I would have seen like eyes or legs, that would have been a bit... too much. So perhaps like there's different stages to that acceptance.
I think so. I think we start with your saved crisps, because I remember you know, meeting you at a trade fair or something and going to try these crisps and thinking, and it felt like a big thing to try them, and then of course they're delicious. And then I remember leaving with a bag of, is it your sour cream and chai?
sour cream and onion
and eating them on the train on the way home, being like, in my head going, I'm eating crickets, but really enjoying this packet of crisps that I really needed at that moment in time. And it was delicious. But I can see that feels very easy to accept. I could have that with a glass of wine. I could serve that at a dinner party.
You could put those on your salad.
You could put those on your salad. This feels like a bigger jump for me. Yeah. This feels like a much more of a conversation topic, wowie moment of, you know, there's NutriBug. There's literally bugs in my salad.
Mm. Yeah, I think that would be for more adventurous eaters.
Or maybe we need to just actually get our children onto it. Yeah. You know, these things are from normalizing things, yeah? So...
it's coming, isn't it? This is... I mean, if you ever been to the small holding at Kilndown, it's a really brilliant chef called Will Devlin. I think they've got a green Michelin star there. They do an acre menu there, and it's absolutely beautiful food. And I remember going and having a scallop or something with wood ants. And that was quite a moment of going, oh, right, there's wood ants on top of my food. I don't know how they were cooked, but they were spicy, spicy. Oh. They added a real kick to the dish, and they were delicious.
Well, actually, funny you should say that, because NutriBug are now doing vodka and a scorpion vodka and an ant gin, because apparently ants give a delicious citrus flavour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think we should try that on sometime.
Absolutely. Well, I think we had. Like we're having, well, now not anymore because people are becoming more aware of it. But apparently Campari, the red color, was based on insect. And insect were used a lot for coloring.
Oh, yeah. Beetles, don't they make the red?
Yeah.
Or is that purple? I can't remember. There's
something around it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's been around us for years, but it's just like if you don't think about it, like it's not a big deal. But when you actually point it out, or like Haribo's, it has like pork gelatin, no one really cares. But it's actually, when you think about it, not very appealing or appetizing, but people eat it anyway. So if the end product is delicious, like why would it matter so much?
And then let's talk about the pricing of protein powders, because I know that there's an issue with the cricket powder because of its expense, and that there are other cheaper protein powders. And this is a real issue for the industry of trying to use cricket protein powder, because it's not competing.
Yeah. No, 100%. So to give you an example, so in the plant-based proteins, pea protein is widely used, and it's approximately like £10 a kilo from my last kind of benchmarking. And cricket protein in Europe, I think if you get it from Thailand, it would be cheaper, but it's £30 per kilo. So it does have quite an impact. And what we're struggling with is kind of our products are sold at a premium. We try to make it as competitive as possible. Like our packs of like 25 grams are £1.69. So it's not £3. It's still kind of like affordable. But it's kind of explaining why would I pay more for cricket protein, insect protein, when it's not something that has been associated to luxury, or, you know, it's not, I'm selling lentils with caviar and people would expect to pay £3. Like insect protein is like there's a lot of crickets or insect out there. Why would I pay so much for something like this? So it's like that consumer education is big.
And what do you think will bring down the price? Like how do you
think? Demand. Okay. Like the more demand for those products, the more supply and economies of scale.
But £1.69 seems like a reasonable, it doesn't seem like a crazy amount when you think about the amount of protein you're getting there. Yeah. Only 100 calories for a bag that's got a lot of, you know, there's a lot of puffs you get in that bag. It feels like a really lovely thing. What?
But we're trying to, because we're trying to lower the price, to have that price barrier not being an issue too much.
Got it.
Although for some it is, when you compare it to a Walker bag, like it's £1 for the same portion. So it's still kind of at a premium. We're not a Walker's, like it has a lot of more benefits to it. Margins are tight and we're trying to drive volumes to kind of get people educated about our products and really the price not being a barrier.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. That is absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for coming in, Clara.
Of course.
Oh, where can we buy your products? It's just us.
Online, Amazon. And if you're in London and you fancy some poke bowls, we're listed with Honey Poke. So for the London listeners, please head there.
Brilliant. Otherwise, go to Amazon. That sounds fantastic. And Nutribug, where can they be bought?
From Nutribug.com.
Nutribug.com. Brilliant. Yeah. Sadly, we come to the end of the show, but thank you so much for coming on, Clara, from Saved. Have a look for them. And if you look at our website, we'll make sure we've got links and things to your website so everyone can find you. And thank you very much to Georgie for coming in. You've been listening to Food Rebels, which is available on radio stations around the UK. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible. And please remember to subscribe and rate us. It really makes a huge difference to our podcast, or follow, or whatever the button is on yours. We're also on Instagram @food_rebels. So give us a follow. And if you'd like to come on our show, send us a DM. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you taste the rebellion.